Okay, we're going to continue in Proverbs, walking in wisdom. And this morning, we're going to talk about what it means to walk in wisdom in the context of justice and mercy. The Proverbs talk quite a bit about that. Kids, do you know what justice is? Kinda? Justice is making sure everyone gets what they deserve. Doing what's right for everyone. Okay? And mercy, it's being kind and forgiving even when someone does wrong. So it almost seems like they're kind of opposites, but yet they often work together in tandem. I want to tell you a little story this morning as we get started. This woman, her name is Lachey Lacey. And she died at 16 years old, October 20th, 1997. So she had finished her part-time job. She was sitting in a van with a friend listening to music before they went home. And while that was happening, there was a couple young gang members where she lived, and they were kind of doing an initiation, targeting someone who drove a vehicle just like the one she was sitting in. So they mistook the van she was sitting in for someone else, and they shot the van up and killed her. And you can just imagine when her parents got the news, how hard that would be. So parents, imagine this happening to your child and the feelings you might feel. And you would want justice to be done, wouldn't you? The person that just took the life of your child, you would want them to be punished and put into prison. And that's what happened. They caught the shooter. His name is Christopher Smith, and he was sentenced 20 years to life. So kind of up in the air, for sure 20 years, possibly his whole life, he's gonna be sentenced for the murder of Lachey Lacey. And for years, after his daughter's death, the father, Donald Lacey, poured himself into his work as an anti-violence activist, making sure that justice was done and continues to be served. This morning, we're going to be talking about justice and mercy. So would you turn with me to Proverbs 22, 16 to 23. We're going to just kind of read that this morning as we get started. So would you stand with me as we read that, out of respect for God's holy word? And let's see what the scriptures say about justice and mercy. Proverbs 22, 16 to 23. Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips, that your trust may be in the Lord. I have made them known to you today, even to you. Have I not written for you 30 sayings of counsel and knowledge to make you know what is right and true, that you may give a true answer to those who sent you? Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and rob the life of those who rob them. You may be seated. Okay, for note takers or people that just kind of want to know where I'm at in my sermon, I have 4 main points this morning, okay? 4 main points. First one, how do we walk in wisdom in the context of justice and mercy? First, wise people know God is just and merciful. God is just and merciful. Let's look at some of the Proverbs that talk about these topics, okay? So Proverbs 17:15, it says, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord." So this is saying that if you think it's okay that wicked and evil people get away with what they're doing, or if you think it's okay that people that are doing the right thing are punished for what they're doing, both things are hated by God. God wants to see people do the right thing and people that are doing the wrong thing be punished. Okay? That reflects his own character. His character is just. He wants his people to be like him and do the right thing. And if we don't, God hates that. Proverbs 20:10. Unequal weights and unequal measures are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Okay, so if I'm selling cereal, kids, and you come to me and I say, you know, a bowl of cereal, this bowl that I have here, it's got this much cereal in it and it costs $5. And you say, okay, I have $5. And I put it on the scale, but I actually kind of tweaked the scale so that wouldn't be the same amount of what $5 of cereal would be worth. That's wrong, right? I'm robbing you of what we agreed to. And lots of people throughout the history of the world have done this very thing. They've tricked people into thinking that they're getting something that they're not. And God's saying, that's not right. I hate that. You have to do what's right. You have to be honest. You have to do what you say you're going to do and give people what you say you're going to give. So unequal weights and unequal measures are both alike an abomination to the Lord. We read that and we're kind of like, well, that doesn't seem like that big a deal, right? And God says, no, I hate that because my character is right and just and perfect. And for you to give imperfect things does not reflect my character. Proverbs 21:3. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. If you guys remember last year when we were going through Leviticus, we talked about sacrifice a lot. There was a lot of sacrifice going on all the time within the nation of Israel. And it was a big deal to God that they get the sacrifices right. But throughout Scripture, this very verse or theme keeps popping up because God wants people's hearts. It's not just about giving the sacrificial animal. It's not just about making that sacrifice. It's about the position of our hearts. And this is saying God cares more about the righteousness and justice in our hearts than the very object or thing that we're offering to him. Does that make sense? So God's character is just, and he cares about righteousness and justice. Likewise, Proverbs 22:22-23, so we read these few verses here already this morning, but it says, do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them. This is showing God's character is also merciful. God cares about the poor people, the afflicted people. Why? Well, God is mighty. God's powerful. God's gracious. God has given the whole world to mankind to enjoy and spread God's worship and image. And yet, when sin came into the world, people distorted that and they started saying, I'm in charge, and you do what I tell you, and I'm going to take this from you. And chaos and sin just abounded throughout the earth. And God's saying, that's not my ways. Don't do that. And lots of people over the history of the earth, even today we see it, they take advantage of the poor and needy. And God's saying, I have mercy on them. They are in need. And I will judge. So even in this verse, we see justice and mercy both. And it's reflecting on God's character. Proverbs 14:31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker. But he who is generous to the needy honors him. When we go through our daily life and we see someone in need. So I don't think we're meant to read this and just see a dollar amount. Oh, they only make this much a year. They must be poor. I think it's just talking about anyone in need, anyone who needs help. If we are neglecting them, oppressing them, we're insulting God himself. Because every human being that we come across is created in the image of God. And this struck me this week. I can complain about people quite a bit. It comes pretty easy to me. And it's humbling for me to read these verses and think, I can't think that way about my fellow man. They are made in God's image, and if I oppress them in the way that I live or the way that I view them, I'm insulting their maker, my maker. So I want us to think hard, church, about God being just and merciful. God cares about every person that you interact with in a day. And God cares about justice and mercy. James 2:13, what does the New Testament say about this? It says, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And I love this verse because I think it really reveals God's character. God cares about justice. He cares about judgment, and he will do that. And yet, God is also completely merciful, and he will forgive people. And if we take on his characteristics of judging what's right and wrong and simultaneously showing mercy whenever we can, we are reflecting our Creator. So, what does this mean for me? If wise people know that God is just and merciful, how does that play out in my life and in yours? I think point number two, wise people then reflect God's justice. So let's just look at this first one. Proverbs 28:5. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. Again, because sin has tainted this world so much, I think there's a lot of times that people don't even realize how unjust they are. And I think we could sit here and make a list about all the different ways that leaders and people with power have abused their authority and power. And this doesn't mean that just the rich or just the people in charge are evil and the people that are poor or don't have as much money are righteous. But we generally see these big extremes when we look that way. But if we think about the heart of the issue, people who are living for themselves don't understand justice. But yet people who are living for the Lord can look around and see the needs of others and understand what's going on. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Again, God cares about this stuff, about being honest, not inflating a time card, not cutting corners at work, doing the right thing at school, kids even doing chores rightly and completely at home. That's all falling under how we live. Are we being right in the things that we do? Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Are we being righteous and just in the way that we speak? I had something happen a few weeks ago where someone giving me change gave me back too much. And it could have been one of those opportunities where, thank you, Lord, for blessing me. But I felt he gave me just this split second thought, just be honest about that. And I returned it. But it's one of those things, like lying lips, how often in our daily life do we kind of give ourselves a pass on that kind of thing? You get what I'm saying? And we need to live rightly and justly in everything we do. Proverbs 18:5. It is not good to be partial to the wicked or to deprive the righteous of justice. Again, we think about extremes all the time when we read this kind of stuff. But how does it actually come into our daily life? I think a big thing for us maybe is just not having favorites. I mean, we all can favor certain people over others quite often, can't we? people we interact with at the store, or maybe even people within our home. Someone's being difficult for a while and we kind of favor another person. It happens all the time, you guys. But it all falls under this. Are we being just and right in the way that we interact with other people? What does the New Testament say about reflecting God's justice? Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, doing what's right, for they shall be satisfied. And I was thinking about this week. Being satisfied. If you're like me, so often you just keep thinking like, oh, if I just had this one more thing, I would be satisfied, right? We all have that thing, that craving. And there was, this happened again another week or so ago. I had, there's this restaurant in St. Paul called Taste of Nepal. I love Nepalese food, and I was craving this Nepalese food for weeks. And I finally told Ann, I'm like, I gotta get it. So Oscar's birthday, they all had Mexican food. That's what he wanted. I wanted Nepalese. I was craving it for so long. And when I read this verse, I'm thinking, you know what? Do I hunger and thirst? Do I crave for righteousness in my life in a similar way that I crave for a certain dish at a favorite restaurant? Do we do that, church? I think I need to actively crave righteousness in my life so that I am satisfied. Because left to myself, I'm just going to keep trying all these different worldly things, hoping that satisfies and it never does. I need to crave righteousness and justice above those things. All right, thirdly, wise people reflect God's mercy. So doing what's right is important. God cares about that. We need to be just and right and righteous in all we do. And yet we also need to reflect God's mercy. Proverbs 14:21. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Again, not showing favorites, not taking advantage of people you can take advantage of or get away with things, but actually being generous to those in need, generous to those who are impoverished around you, just things like that. How does this play out in daily life? Again, I'll tell you another story. This has probably happened more than once. We've been at a restaurant, you know, and it comes time for the tip. And I'm the kind of person, I will try to tip based on the actual performance. I try to be a little more just. Did they deserve this tip? And my lovely wife is much more generous and merciful than I am. I have seen her tip more than what she normally would for service that was worse than we normally get, just to bless a person. And I hate it because I don't like giving more money to people that don't deserve it, and I hate it because it humbles me. Like, how can she be so generous and kind? And yet, I think it just reflects what the Lord has done in her life and the mercy that he's given her, and she wants to let that come out to others, okay? And I'm sharing that story because I think it's a challenge to all of us. Maybe you're more like me in those situations. It's like, no, they don't deserve it. I'm not going to give it. And yet the Lord says, do you want to reflect my character? You want to reflect my mercy and my goodness? Go above and beyond to people that don't deserve it. That's what mercy is. Show them mercy even when they don't deserve it. Proverbs 14:31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. Again, I just think this is worth reading over, giving extra attention to or listening to someone who is often overlooked. Do we all have those people in our life that we could just be like, ugh, just leave me alone, right? And yet, I think we can reflect God's mercy in saying, no, you're created in his image. You have an issue. You have something you want to share with me. And you're worth listening to because you're a fellow human being. I love you, and I want to hear what you have to say. Just even things like that, being generous to those in need. Proverbs 22:9, whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Maybe they don't deserve the blessing that you can give them. Maybe the just thing to do is let them suffer the fruit of their consequences. And yet God in his holy word is saying, reflect me. You will be blessed if you share with those in need, especially if it's costly to you. It reflects my character. The New Testament also talks about this very thing. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. If you reflect God's mercy, you also will receive mercy. Do you understand who God is? Yes, God is just, and he will deal with wickedness and sin. And yet, God is also merciful, quick to forgive, and he pours himself out on people. Another one, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, church, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. We could come up with a whole list of these types of things. Do you know what God has done for you in your life when you didn't deserve it? Then likewise, turn to your neighbor who doesn't deserve it and forgive them. Be merciful to them. Be generous with them, not only with your stuff, but also with forgiveness and a loving attitude. Lastly, wise people enjoy the fruit of justice and mercy. So if we actually play this out, what happens? Proverbs 19:17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Every little act of compassion that I do for someone in need or someone that needs help, it's as if I'm doing it to God himself. And I think if we remembered that, it would change the way that we serve others. Proverbs 21:13. Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. If we ignore those around us who are in need, who need justice and righteousness in their life, they need someone to stand up for them and speak out for them and serve them and help them. If we don't do that, God might not listen to your prayers. And it's a very humbling thing. If we know who he is, we need to walk humbly before him and walk humbly before one another. That's what he wants. And then when we do that, when we reflect his character, he will pour out blessing after blessing in our life. Proverbs 21:21. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. Again, what are we focused on? What are we seeking? What are we working towards? Is it justice and mercy? Are we seeking to do what's right? If we do, he says we will find life and righteousness and honor. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Again, I don't want to move too quickly through this. I think these things are worth reading and meditating on throughout the week as well, church. But think about this. How is Solomon contrasting different people here? A faithful man versus someone who's trying to be rich. Someone who's faithful in saying, Lord, I know who you are. I know what you've given me. I know what you're calling me to do. Help me be faithful in that. Or someone who's ignoring who God is and what God has designed us to do and saying, I want to live for me. So if we look at this just by bank account, even the poorest people in this room are rich compared to so many people in the world, right? So we can't look at it exactly like that way. I think this is about a heart thing. Are we faithful stewards of what God has given us? Do we have an attitude that is seeking to do what is right and seeking to be generous and seeking to be merciful? Or are we living for ourselves? Galatians 6, 9 to 10. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. How are we interacting with one another, church? Are we standing up for one another? Are we seeking to do what's right with one another? Are we being merciful and showing love and kindness to one another, especially within the church here? Think about the world we live in. This is Lady Justice. You might see pictures or statues of this. It's supposed to say, you know, justice is blind. And she weighs the scales to do the right thing every time. So Lady Justice here is blindfolded. But the funny thing is, we are not, right? We see things around us. We almost always judge based on our own perspectives and our own feelings, which in turn does not produce perfect justice most of the time. Because left to ourselves, we are going to favor ourselves, we're going to favor our people. And I just want to us to think hard about this. Proverbs 16:11. A just balance and scales are whose? The Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness. The scales of justice belong to God. And no king, no ruler, no person can get it right. True justice and mercy need to come from him. Proverbs 29:14. If a king faithfully judges the poor, his throne will be established forever. Think about the people hearing that in Solomon's kingdom. You know, who's going to be king next? Will it be a faithful king? One who cares about the poor and the oppressed? And king after king, as you read the Old Testament, they looked out for themselves. They wanted to show off how great they were. We need a faithful king, one who looks around and judges the poor and sticks up for them and shows mercy. That's the one we need. And if we ever get that king, he will rule forever. And that's why people were longing for the Messiah to come, the one who would do that exactly. And we get, spoiler alert, Jesus on the scene. And what does he do? Who does he hang out with a lot of the time? Poor people. He sticks up for them. He speaks into their life. He ministers to them. Who else does he minister to and spend time with? Well, the worldly rich people as well, because he knows that they're poor in spirit and they too need Jesus. They need him. And this king, Jesus, rightfully judges them all. He took justice. He said, I know every person I'm interacting with and meeting is a sinner, and they need my help. And I'm going to take their sins upon me on the cross and offer a way for them to receive mercy from God the Father. Jesus understood justice and mercy more than any other person or king. And he not only understood it, but he lived it out. In the way that he talked to people, interacted with them, served them, he showed mercy. And yet he dealt with the justice we all deserve because of sin. Revelation 11:15. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Verses like this pop up after the Gospels, that Jesus is the one who's going to reign forever and ever. He was and is and will be that king who judges rightly and offers mercy. And all we have to do is believe who he says he is and what he did and surrender our life to him. I can't do it. I don't know what justice is left to myself. I always judge wrongly. Jesus, I need you to set the standard, and I need you to call me into who you are and how you want me to live. Then I can live rightly. Lord Jesus, I continually need mercy and forgiveness, and he offers it. And all we need to do is surrender to him and believe it, and we will be saved. Donald Lacey, the father of Lachey, the one who was murdered by a gang member. He sought justice and he got it. Christopher Smith, as I said, was sentenced 20 years to life. And Donald Lacey fought for justice for so many years. And when I read the article about this story, he said in the article, "I never considered mercy." And yet when he was confronted, he knew what he had to do. And he ended up meeting with Christopher Smith, the man who murdered his daughter. And Donald Lacey sat feet across from him, and he said, "I forgive you." And something happened in that moment for both men. But afterwards, Smith, the one who was serving time, he said he felt 100,000 times lighter because of the mercy and forgiveness he received from Donald Lacey. And 6 months later, Smith was paroled. Donald Lacey, the father of the murdered daughter, had told the California courts that he was in favor of his early release. And upon release, Christopher Smith got his driver's license. He got a degree in psychology. He became a therapist with a focus on single-parent mothers and their children. Because of the forgiveness and mercy that he received, he walked out of there a changed man. And yet justice was being served, wasn't it? He needed to be punished for his sins. But yet mercy triumphs over judgment. And all of us might not have this dramatic of a story in our life, but I do want to ask each one of us, what would it look like this week for you to show someone the same justice and mercy that God has shown you in Christ? Think about it. Justice needs to happen. It's right. It reflects who God is. And we should stick up for the vulnerable, for the poor, for the needy, for those in need of justice. And yet, God has shown great mercy in forgiving each one of us for our sins. And how do we, in the midst of standing up for justice and what is right, how do we extend mercy to those around us who don't deserve it? And I want us to think hard this week about that. Is there someone coming up in your mind? And how can we reflect the justice and mercy that God has shown us in Christ? Last verse, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I don't want to live my life looking down on others, criticizing them, judging them. I want to be poor in spirit. I want to inherit the kingdom that God has for me. And I need the Lord's help, because left to myself, I'm really good at judging others. But I don't do it justly. I do it sinfully. So Lord, help me be poor in spirit. I pray for every person in this room, Lord, that we would be poor in spirit. We want to inherit your kingdom. We want to reflect who you are and what you've done in and through Christ. Lord, bring people into our mind today that need mercy. And Lord, use us as instruments of your mercy and grace in their life so that they know you. Help us do this, we pray. Amen.